The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, ahead of Minister for Finance Simon Harris's meeting tomorrow to discuss the details of the new savings and investment scheme with relevant industry and policy stakeholders, many questions remain unanswered as to what this will actually mean for people's pockets when it is rolled out. And joining us now to discuss this is Robert Whelan, Managing Director of Rockwell Finance. Good evening to you, Robert. What do we know? Okay, the purpose of this is, if I'm correct, is there's about 170 billion lying around in people's current accounts and credit unions accounts and all this kind of stuff, making no money for anybody. And the government kind of want us to be better off, I suspect, in our old age so that they don't have to do as much to support us. So they now want us to invest our money to earn a few bob extra. Is that more or less what's happening?
Basically, yes. And it's to be applauded because ultimately, if people have more money in their pocket, well, then they're more, from the government's perspective, they're more likely to spend money, let's be honest as well, into the economy. And anything that can incentivize people to save, but obviously get a return, certainly ahead of inflation. And you've seen some revised inflationary figures come out over the last week.
Yeah.
So anything that gets you
today, in fact,
absolutely. So anything that comes out that gets you a return ahead of those numbers is obviously to be welcomed.
Okay. And here's the thing, as I read this, is that lots of people leave their money in those places like current accounts that earn no money for a couple of reasons. One is inertia. But two is because many people are risk averse and they don't want to put their money into something that, yes, might give them a return, but there's also a risk attached to it. So the government has to incentivize people to overcome their risk aversion and their inertia. So what are they going to do to make us? This isn't an SSIA.
No.
This savings and investment account will do certain things for us, but not as much as that. So what are they proposing that they do to make us make the jump?
Yeah, so far it's been heavy on bluster, light on detail. So, right, but what he has mentioned is he's going to model it on the Swedish model, which is called the ISK. And the way the ISK works is there is no limit to the amount you can put in.
So if I had 200 grand, I don't, but if I did, I can throw that into the account and that's all good.
In Sweden, absolutely.
Okay.
And the way they quote unquote tax it is, without getting into it, there is a method of calculating it, but it today in Sweden, it amounts to about 0.9% of the value of the pot.
Okay. Okay.
So,
and I get charged that annually?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Yeah. And there is no limit. There is no maximum size. So there's no minimum. I think the minimum might be 1,000 a year or something like that. It's pretty small. So if you looked at them, that's what they're modelling it on. And the alternative that could be available to would be a tax-free type of a scheme, which is similar to what they have in the UK. But what they're trying to do is take the money that's currently on deposit and move it off. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think what we need to be aware of is that if you look at kind of the current category of saver, you have the boomers, let's just call them that, right? They were the people who bought Aircom shares.
Do you know what? Funnily enough, when I was reading this about this earlier, and I always make little notes as I read things, I've written down Aircom shares is what I've written down. That was the time when they're like, everyone's now going to become an investor. Yeah. And sure, then half them lost their shirts.
Well, Ireland never had money. And then we started to have money in the mid-90s. And then our first engagement with investing as a country was such a bust. And it was promoted by the government. Mother of God, it was ads about it and everything. So that was their taste. So that made them naturally risk averse. They then got over that. And then we're followed by Gen X, my gen, your gen, and our gen, Shane, not leaving you out. And our first exposure to risk was the Celtic Tiger. And then what happened? The great financial crash. So you have 80% of the wealth currently being held on these deposits by two sectors of society who have a natural aversion to risk because their first...
They got burnt.
They did badly. So that's not to say that it's the wrong decision to take on risk, because what you're coming off of the back of, and I think Harris's timing just needs to be clever in how he talks about this, because we've had the best 15 years in the history of financial markets. It's been phenomenal. Annual returns in excess of 14% per annum in global stock markets. It's incredible. But the average return before this was about 7.7. So what I'm trying to say is we've had a really good 15 years. People expecting that type of return from a stocks and shares type of account over the next 10 may be disappointed, in my opinion.
Well, it looks like we're going into fairly choppy waters at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's always going to be the case. And okay. I'm certainly as an advocate for investing.
Okay, but now you've said that they could go in and they'd be charged like 0.9% tax per year. What are they likely to make? Like, these are investment accounts. So for people who are investing here, is this going to be a government-backed, we'll take your money and we'll invest it for you? Or what are we kind of talking about?
Again, they haven't. God, I'd have nightmares if the government took on the administration of it. If they model it on the Swedish model, let's stick with that.
So do they expect the financial institutions
yes.
to generate instruments
correct.
That they offer to people?
Yes.
Okay.
If I'm to read the assumption that they're modelling it on
so
the
ISK. So I have a current account with Bank of Ireland. Mm-hmm. Can I expect to be getting calls from the Bank of Ireland or emails or something saying, we have this fantastic SIA for you, Dr. Kelly, and if you'd like to put your 25 euros that you have spare into it, this is what you'll expect.
Potentially, but also insurance companies, and I suppose I'll speak up here for the financial advice community. I think the notion of a government just walking people in after the Aircom debacle, walking people onto risk without advice is crazy.
Okay.
So I think there will be some level of a layer of advice put in there in the middle of it.
And where is the win for people? Because obviously they can invest in things at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing to stop them. So what's going to invest? What do we think? There's going to be no tax on the gains, no capital gains the way there currently is, or why would people do this, do we think? What's the difference between investing in an investment product today and after this is brought out?
Well, ultimately, it's with the prospect of reduced tax. I have a huge problem with the current rate of taxation in Ireland. The way it works at the moment is you take 100% of the risk, but you only get 62% of the gain. The government take 38% of the gain today. And that's very punitive. It puts a lot of people off.
Mm-hmm.
What they're talking about, if you model it on the ISK model of ransom numbers, if you got, without getting into it, 250 a month over 10 years at 7% annual return, the difference in current tax versus new tax is about 3,500 euros. So what does it
over
mean?
Over how many years?
10 years.
That's a sizable chunk.
Absolutely. So there is a tax saving, and that is the nudge. What they're trying to do is nudge some of that 170 billion that's sitting there in those deposit accounts into the investment markets. Why? It's really about trying to generate more wealth in the economy so that we have more people spending money in the economy, which will obviously help the economy.
So they want this because, as I say, they want us to be better off because then we will spend money in the economy and we will also have maybe a bigger buffer into our old age and all that business.
Absolutely.
Is there also a win for the economy in general that this money will be available for investments then too, and that will drive on other aspects of the economy?
In like government type of projects? I'll bore you with this. I've long been an advocate of something like a national infrastructure bond. But at the same time, they haven't mentioned that. At the moment, what they're talking effectively exclusively about is putting the money into the international markets and people taking their chances with how those markets perform rather than anything state specific or project specific.
Okay. I suppose maybe lastly on this, Robert, I suppose we don't know enough yet because they haven't really, I suppose, rolled out the package of whatever kind of incentives are going to be there. It currently sounds complex to me in a way that, say, the SSIA didn't.
Mm.
And the SSIA was very easy to understand and we all signed up to it. We all got a lump sum out of it, any of us who did. And that was flooded the housing market with money and pushed up the prices and all those things that we know happened. But do you think that this will be more simplified when they roll it out? Because currently I'm not tempted at all, as it were.
Yeah, I do think they'll have to simplify. And I suppose from my perspective, I'm kind of dealing in the abstract at the moment.
Yeah, so you're no, fair. Absolutely.
But I do believe they'll have to, if it's not, but what I will say is, has the Swedish model worked, for instance? Yes.
There's currently, the Swedes do invest in it.
Yeah, there's currently 150 billion euro. Well, they have their own currency, but equivalent 150 billion euro invested in the Swedish system, an average of about 37,000 euro per investor. So it obviously can be sold by, you know, the authority.
Yeah.
So I would imagine they will make sure it's easy to understand. The less complexity they put into it, the more take up they will get.
Yeah,
as you said, if they make it complex, it's obviously not going to work.
Maybe, I know that was the last question, but maybe this is the last question. In terms of timing, is this a good time? A lot of people feel very squeezed at the moment. Cost of living crisis, energy hikes and more energy hikes to come potentially and inflation climbing. What is it? With 3.7% based off the back of the energy changes. Is this a good time to incentivize people to spend? I'd say an awful lot of people are to the pin of the collar to live within their means, never mind saving.
My saying in life is, it's never the wrong time to do the right thing. So I'll say it's the right thing to do. The fact that the the timing for the economy, 2026 might be great, 2027. But this is hopefully something that will have in place for the next 20, 30, 40 years. The next generation of savers are coming into their early 20s. If we can get them going into this type of scheme, they'll certainly be far wealthier in 30, 40 years. So I agree with you, but in theory, it's the right thing to do. So let's just do it.
And of course, there is that 170 billion sitting in current accounts. So somebody has money somewhere. But look, thank you very much for joining us, Robert. That is Robert Whelan there, Managing Director at Rockwell Finance.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.